Welcome to episode 513 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, games, and ebooks.
And ebooks, yes. What, you know, I think we should maybe just get this out of the way right away. Your internet is crap tonight, so
oh, yeah.
We might have some technical difficulties with this episode. Sorry for that. Not much we can do about it. Richard has been on the phone with Verizon all day long trying to get this fixed, and it's not working out so well. Oh well.
Yeah,
Richard, let's jump into our feedback. We've got all a little right. bit because last week we asked all of you lovely listeners out there to tell us how has this pandemic, this all of these stay-at-home orders and all of that stuff, how has that changed what you're doing in your entertainment centers? And we did get a little bit of feedback. I expected some more. So come on, everybody, like send it in. We want to know what you're doing. So John shot us an email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. And he says, "Hey guys, I'll just say I was made for these times. I finally got the ad blocker, PF blocker, and G installed in my PF sense box. It was easy to do and it's running sweet. I'm going to spend some time cleaning up shows from my still running and main box that's running Windows Media Center. I'm also going to clean up my Plex box. I have one more episode of Man in the High Castle to go. I haven't started Westworld season 3 yet, and I still have Lost in Space season 2 and The Expanse latest seasons to go. I'm good with content. Also, because of my work schedule, I have 10 years of movies I haven't watched yet. other projects to occupy me are building a 4K UHD home theater PC box using one of the 1080 Ti GPUs from my crypto mining days. Oh, and my house has 20 years of accumulated clutter that probably should be gone through at some point. Do either of you need an external USB 1.0 hub?
I
definitely don't need one of those. I would take one of your old amazing video cards, but I don't need a USB 1 hub. No thanks. he says, I also repurposed my dormant crypto mining rig to use for folding at home to assist with the COVID-19 research. That's pretty awesome. He says, keep the podcast going. If this keeps up, I may be able to join whenever you're live. So it sounds like John's home a lot right now with the outbreak.
He's actually working out of his office from what I understand still. But let me be like, you know, his kids are grown. So it's not like he has the added burden of everybody's kids being home and having to occupy all of them.
Yeah, that's true. That helps. That helps a lot.
Yeah. But this is awesome. I love this. This is like this is almost like he has, I don't know, a to-do list.
that's all like home theater PC stuff.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. Yeah. We got one more piece of feedback. It was from Richard in the UK. This came to us on Twitter. Our Twitter account is @DigiMediaZone. He sent this today. Today is March 24th. He says, well, Disney Plus came to the UK today, so that's what I'm doing. Congratulations. That's what we were all doing.
Nice.
Was that November, October, September? I don't remember when Disney Plus came to us, but that was a big day.
Very nice. Day. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, like I said in our last episode, you still have to wait week to week for the episodic content. Sorry, folks.
Hey, we had to go through what they should do. It's just fair. It's just fair. Right.
All right. Well, that's actually a good transition into our first story, which is about CBS. If you don't want to wait for content and you want to binge stuff that's already available, CBS is offering a free month of All Access. So if previously you've been, I don't know, disinclined to test out the old versions of their trials, which are typically usually just 7 days, sometimes 15 days. Now you can get a 1 month free trial of All Access just by signing up with them directly. And that would give you the ability to watch all of the episodes of Picard, because the next episode of Picard is the season finale. And we'd also give you the ability to binge the first two seasons of Discovery if you haven't done that already and you care about that show. There's other stuff up there, not stuff that I'm interested in, but you know, there's certainly other content that might be of interest to you. You do have to provide a credit card. Like, you're signing up for their service, or it has to be hooked to a host streaming service of some sort that you already subscribe to. But you can cancel at any time before the end of the trial without any cost to you. So 30 days of free CBS All Access is, I think, a good thing. The only thing that's better than this right now is the deal with Roku, where if you bought a new Roku device and you still have time for this before the end of March, you can sign up for 3 months of All Access for free.
And that's the deal you did, right?
That is what I did.
Cool. All right. Good deal. Good deal. That's, yeah. I mean, you've got three Star Trek series that you could binge, and 30 days is probably enough time for most people to binge those shows.
Let alone if you happen to be one of those people who now has more time on their hands. And again, I don't want to suggest that everybody does, because I know that if your kids are home too, then you probably have less time, not more time.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of how it feels. All right. Our next story is from Amazon Prime. I got excited about this story until I read the details. Amazon Prime Video, finally, after how many years has it been around? I'm not even sure at this point. Bunches is bringing
Amazon Unbox. Is profiles. That what you mean?
Oh my gosh, I forgot
Amazon
it used to
Unbox
be called
Unbox Video.
That was like 2008, I think.
It was a long time ago.
I remember using Unbox to watch Battlestar Galactica episodes while they were still on TV. That's how
Whoa.
Long ago it was.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes. Yep. All right. So anyway, Amazon Prime Video, not Amazon Unbox, finally working to add multiple profiles to accounts. So you no longer have to, well, you will no longer have to share accounts with everybody else in your household, screwing up all of your suggested listings, or maybe making it real easy for your kids to watch content that they really shouldn't be watching. I mean, that's up to you, I guess. So they're making it so that you can add 5 additional profiles. You can make special, you know, kid specific profiles to limit them to only kid appropriate content. Of course, the profiles currently will work on Android, iOS, Fire TV devices, and the web player, although I gotta imagine they'll eventually roll this out to basically every device. The problem is they haven't rolled it out to every country yet. So Richard and I have not been able to try this yet because it's available in India and some Asian countries and some African countries. The US, UK, you know, Europe. No, we don't get this yet. So I don't know how long this is going to take to roll out to the rest of us. Like, this doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but we don't have it yet.
So strange. It's just so strange. It's an odd initial launch. I don't really understand it, unless they're maybe having to roll this out to those areas because of some sort of regulations. I can't imagine that their numbers are lower there. I don't know. This just seems so weird. This is not your typical, we're going to try this in Cleveland before we roll it out to the rest of the US kind of thing.
Cleveland? Cleveland is what you went with?
Well, because like Cleveland is kind of like the, if you will, the stereotypical pilot site for a lot of companies because it's not too big, it's not too small. It's kind of in that Goldilocks space in terms of a market size.
Okay. Okay. I'll let that pass.
All right.
Well,
it's in your home state. What are you complaining about?
It is. That's why I was curious what you were going to say about Cleveland. My wife is a big fan of that city, so she wouldn't stand for you knocking Cleveland if you were going to say bad things. She grew up a lot closer to Cleveland than I did. I wouldn't care. Anyway, one area where multiple profiles could really come in handy is for all of that kid content, all of that kid-friendly stuff. And it would really come in handy right now because Amazon is doing another nice thing during this COVID-19 outbreak, and they are making a bunch of their kid-friendly shows that would normally be free if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber. They're making them free to all people. Like, you just have to have a regular Amazon account, a free Amazon account, and you can go and watch a lot of this stuff. Now, it's not everything that Amazon has in terms of kids content on Amazon Prime, but it does include some of their originals, like it's weird to call Pete the Cat and If You Give a Mouse a Cookie an Amazon original. Like, I get that they produced the series, but they didn't make the books, and it's based off of the books, so that's weird to me. It also includes some PBS stuff like Arthur. Don't watch Arthur. Arthur's bad. Arthur, like, makes your kids whiny. Don't let them watch Arthur. Instead, have them watch Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, because that's a really good show. That is essentially a cartoon version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. They should absolutely be watching Daniel Tiger, not Arthur. So... this is a really cool offering. They haven't said how long it's going to be available, but if you're not paying for Prime and you're just looking for something good for your kids to be able to watch, now you can do this on Amazon without paying anything extra.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's it for our video news this week. Only one audio news story, and this is for all of this is kind of specifically for everybody listening to this, because everybody listening to this enjoys podcast. So Google has their own podcast app. It's called, very creatively, Google Podcast. And the app is pretty terrible. It's really not a great podcast app, but they're finally starting to come up with revolutionary podcast app ideas, like cues and auto-downloading.
I was like, wait, what? Did we read the same post? I thought you were serious for a minute there.
No. Yeah, so they've got auto-downloading. They've got finally a playback cue, some notifications when new episodes become available, which I've actually never used a podcast player that would give me notifications when new episodes came out. That's kind of useful, maybe. And then, of course, some new discovery stuff.
I have turned mine off.
Okay, so Apple does do that?
Apple does that, and Downcast does that. I don't find it enormously useful, but because I'm not the kind of person who's waiting for the next thing to come, because I otherwise don't have anything else to listen to.
Oh, right. And you, like, have to listen to your podcast in order, like all of them.
Right. Yeah.
See, that's the weird thing about you. That's the weird thing. That's one of the weird things about you.
Nope, that's it. That's the weird thing.
There are plenty of times when there are a few shows that are my absolute favorites, and when they come out, like, that's what I like. There are some times when I'm like, I will stop listening to what I'm listening to now to go listen to that. So
wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mostly around hockey. So there aren't many shows that are like that. But yeah, like the ESPN hockey podcast, I really, really love. A couple of others. Home On, of course. Duh.
Of course. Of course. Hey, did you share the bad news about this, which is that it's not going to be available to everyone right away yet?
Well, that kind of seems to be the way Google does everything, doesn't it? Yeah, this is not available to everybody yet.
They're rolling it out. And I get that. And in all fairness, I mean, this app that they first came out with was clearly, like, this is probably a case study of an MVP, right? Their podcast app let you find podcasts, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't, which was ironic for a company that specializes in search. And it let you then play podcasts. And then later they included the ability to subscribe to podcasts, which would just kind of make them show up in a list that you then had to download. So this is a good, big improvement, but I still feel like they have a long way to go to be competitive with any of the other, even independents that are out there doing this.
Right, right. Well, I didn't click into the story, but I did see one place mentioned just this evening that apparently they're also releasing this app on iOS, which seems crazy to me. Like, who would use this on an iPhone? There's no reason.
Like, just what I want on my iPhone or my iOS device is yet another Material Design app. No, I don't.
Yes, you do, Richard. All right, that's it for our audio news. So on to some gaming news. And we have more news about the Xbox Series X. This article is from Ars Technica. They love to dig into some of the finer technical details. It looks like the Xbox Series X, we already knew that it wasn't going to have an HDMI in port. But it looks like it's losing two more ports from previous generations from the Xbox One devices. It will not have an I don't know what people call this. Is it SPDIF? Is it, but what do you call this, Richard? It's the SPDIF. Optical audio output. SPDIF.
I like SPDIF. Even though I think that is the incorrect pronunciation for the way the letters are, but that's what I call it.
No, that's right. It's SPDIF, SPDIF. That works. I like SPDIF. So it won't have a SPDIF port, which means no optical audio out. And I think for a lot of people, they're like, who cares? No one uses that anymore. That's why we have HDMI. So it does video and audio in one cable. Where this does matter is for a lot of the higher end gaming headsets. They'll take that digital optical audio out and use it to give you like a surround sound experience through a wireless headset. So that's going to be a little bit problematic. I'm sure Microsoft would say, why do you need that? We have a wireless audio protocol already, or plug a headset right into your controller. Like, why are you messing around with this stuff still? The other thing that will not be on the Series X is an IR blaster or the IR extension port that the original gigantic Xbox One that looked like a VCR, that one had an IR extension port. The Xbox One S and X just have an IR blaster built into the front of it. It's not going to have any of that. That sounds like bad news, but it's actually good news because the Xbox Series X will actually have HDMI CEC. So if CEC actually works with the rest of your equipment, that'll be really good.
Yeah, I mean, that is good news. Quite frankly, I thought and expected that the original Xbox One should have had CEC. And you may remember a conversation that we had, years and years ago with Mike about the implementation of how you were changing channels and controlling your Xbox. And he thought, he's the HDMI guy, and he thought that it had HDMI CEC, but it didn't. It was doing it all through IR.
Right. It was using the Kinect to just blast IR all over the place. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. It was using its own accessory. Yeah, weird.
It worked. It worked really, yep. Like, it worked so well that we were like, is this the best CEC implementation ever?
Right.
No.
Right. No, no, it's not at all.
Nope. Sorry. But this just makes sense. Like, even the Nintendo Switch has HDMI CEC, for crying out loud. Still only works half the time, but it does have it. So, cool. So there you go with that. And then one other quick story. I guess we technically have two more stories, but one really quick one from the Xbox Game Pass feature. They are adding some extra perks that they're calling to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Richard, this totally had me thinking of Windows Vista Ultimate Extras. I think this is at least actually going to give you something, unlike Ultimate Extras. Oh, still feel bad for the people who signed up for that version of Windows Vista. Anyway, so what is Xbox Ultimate, Game Pass Ultimate perks? It's really not much. They're going to give you some in-game content right now. It's basically a bunch of like cosmetic goods in Sea of Thieves, and they're doing some new characters that you can play as inside of Smite. So it's right now it's not great. Like some of the headlines out there were like, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate's now giving you DLC. And so everyone was like, what? We're also going to get like all of these expansion packs with it? No, you're not. Not right now, at least. So it's just some little perks to get you by. So just as a quick recap, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate is the version of Game Pass that gets you access to, you know, the library of, you know, hundreds of games at this point. That you can play on your Xbox One, on your Windows 10 PC, and it includes Xbox Live Gold. So you get all of that bundled together for $15 a month. And now you also get this extra stuff. So hopefully they'll start to include some cool stuff with it soon, but not yet. At least I don't think it's very cool.
Wait, before you leave that, can I make a recommendation on, let's say investing in products from Microsoft, don't buy on futures. I'm just saying.
Sure. Okay.
Windows Ultimate.
Like, I mean, yeah. Yeah. So you're saying don't buy this.
Don't buy on promised the perks
features. Is going to be cool.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But Game Pass Ultimate already gives you enough. Like you should just sign up for it anyway, but the perks are just perks. I mean, maybe that is the correct word there, because perks to me doesn't imply like really great things. It's just some nice little extras.
It's that free coffee after you've bought 12.
Right. Exactly. So one last gaming story, and that is, it's also related to how everything seems to be getting shut down because of the pandemic. And that includes motorsports. Formula One, IndyCar, NASCAR, basically everybody, they all have suspended their seasons. So there's no racing to watch anymore. Well, the one really cool thing about racing that can't really be said for any other sport is the simulations that are available on computers and consoles are actually pretty close to real life, in that if you're good at especially the real life version, you can probably do the sim version. And kind of the opposite is also true. You still have to deal with G-forces and stuff if you're going from the computer in your house to a real race car, but it works. And when that works, that means that lots of these groups were able to get together and form esports competitions around this. So NASCAR worked with iRacing and got a bunch of people in the NASCAR world, including a few of the NASCAR drivers, and then like other people, like people on the pit crew and spotters, along with other game streaming personalities. And they did an online sim version of the NASCAR race that would have been at Atlanta Speedway last Sunday. They did it in iRacing, did a 100-lap race, streamed it, of course. Like 60,000 people watched it, and it sounded like it went really, really well. Formula One did the same thing. They used the Formula One game, F1 2019, got a couple of Formula One racers, some other streaming personalities. There were like 170,000 people that tuned in to that. So, and I mean, it's still like these Sims have gotten really good over the last years. So it's real racing just in a computer game. And I didn't get a chance to check any of these out, but I might have to do that. So if you're looking for some racing, you can get real racing as an esport, even including some of your favorite real racing drivers. So we'll have a link to all of that in the show notes if you want to check that out this coming weekend.
That's cool.
All right. So we have one more section of news to talk about, and that's ebooks. That's digital media, right?
It is. And we don't often talk about this because there's, frankly, not usually a whole lot of exciting new news here, but there are some organizations that are trying to make more content available to people as they're spending more time at home.
Right. And the first one is the Internet Archive. I think most of our listeners are probably familiar with the Internet Archive, where you can go and view super old versions of the internet, you know, old versions of websites and stuff, and all sorts of other stuff. Like, it is a massive library of content. And I never thought to look for this at the Internet Archive, but they have a massive collection of ebooks. And right now, they are taking their collection of 1.4 million ebooks, and they're removing all of the waiting periods. So if we all want to rush out and read the same Tom Clancy book, we can. And they're doing this because of the national emergency and stuff. So they're calling this the National Emergency Library. And you can just go to the website. I didn't have time to fully check out the borrowing experience to see how exactly that works and what apps it works with on your devices. But you've got plenty of time to check this out because they're suspending the waiting periods either through June 30th or the end of the national emergency, whichever is later. I'm really hoping that June 30th is the later one.
That's a depressing thought. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Please. Okay. Please let June 30th be the later one.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good news. And similarly, we're finding that other companies that offer libraries are making content available for free or augmenting the content that they have. Apple Books is one of those. And we saw a story where Apple Books is offering what they're calling a stay-at-home collection of free books. And most of these are intended for kids or younger audiences. It's oftentimes first books of a series of books, or some of them, for example, are in public domain or near to be public domain, but they're packaged up as read-along audiobooks, which is kind of nice. Like, I like that idea of you can have an audiobook and you can read along with it with your kids, or you can just choose to kind of go back and forth however you want to do that. Some examples of titles, specifically on the kids' side, they have the original book Winnie the Pooh, which is literally a year away from being in the public domain. the ABCs of Cookies from Sesame Street, and a public domain favorite, The Time Machine by H.G. Wells. And if you haven't read that or listened to that one, you absolutely should. It's a really cool story. So if you're an Apple Books user, or if you've been maybe considering taking a look at it, you might want to check that out. These titles are available for free for now.
Yeah. And I, just to clarify, I think you said this, but just to clarify, it's ebooks and audiobooks. So audiobooks can be a lot of fun to listen to with your kids. So I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that I think differentiates them a little bit, and maybe others are offering this too, but they offer audiobooks as a read-along thing so that you can listen to it and you can actually look at the page while it's being read to you, particularly with children's books.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't offering the first book in a series for free just seem like the perfect Apple thing to do? Like, we're trying to be nice to you during this pandemic, but we're really just trying to get you to buy more books from us.
I very seriously doubt they're the only company that's taking that approach.
Yeah, probably not. This just feels so Apple. All right, well, that's it for our news, Richard. So that gets us into one of my favorite parts of the show, talking about what's going on in our entertainment centers. And this week, it's actually a little bit shorter for you. I'm kind of surprised by this.
Somewhat ironically, I've been busier with work over the last week than I have been recently. So I haven't been able to do as much as I might normally. But one of the things that I did talk about was that I was having problems with my Wi-Fi controller. I have a UniFi system and it was not working properly. And you and I had spoken, I believe, on the show about the possibility of maybe setting that up on a Raspberry Pi. I want to do that at some point, but in the meantime, I didn't like the fact that I didn't have access to my controller. And more importantly, what that meant was that I didn't have the ability to actually restrict access to my guest network. So even though nobody could necessarily get into my home network that way, people could, if they wanted to, use my guest network to get to the internet. So I finally said, okay, enough. I'm going to move this to a different machine. And I ended up just installing the UniFi controller on my media server, the same server that runs Plex and PlayOn and stuff like that. It worked perfectly right away, as opposed to fighting with trying to find out why it wasn't working on my old Windows Home Server 2012, which I'm probably about, I don't know, 2 weeks and one crisis away from retiring. Like, I was really ready to retire it, and now I'm thinking I shouldn't be spending $400 on a new NAS right now. So yeah, that's going to go on hold, but I am in the process of moving critical functions off of that in the meantime. So then in terms of stuff I've been watching, some of my sitcoms have started up again. The Conners, Modern Family, then I'm also catching up on episodes of New Amsterdam. That show is getting, oh man, I love that show. It's getting so good. I like that show better now than This Is Us. In fact, I don't want to watch This Is Us right now because I don't want to watch some show that's going to make me potentially unhappy and emotional, right? Like, who needs that right now?
Exactly. Yeah, you need some upbeat shows right now.
Right. New Amsterdam.
Except you've got Homeland on your list, too.
No, I know. But New Amsterdam just makes you feel good. And I love that. Interestingly enough, filmed weeks ago, their next episode, which isn't slated to show until April 7th, I believe is the date, is about an epidemic that basically plows them under, that they can't handle.
Wow.
I am sure that they did that because there was epidemic news, and they thought it would be relevant and a good story, but we're in their mid-season break now, and by the time that airs, I am concerned it's going to be tone-deaf. Interestingly enough, on TV Time, the TV app that I talk about periodically where I record what I'm watching, today I got a survey from NBC asking questions about my interest in seeing this episode. So
really,
NBC is very clearly rethinking whether this is the right episode to air next or not, particularly given the break and the timing of it. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. So I'm curious to see what they end up doing with that, because 2 weeks ago, that would have been really cool. 2 weeks from now, I think people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So all of that said, with all this TV that I'm watching, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, and you don't really have any TV in your list here, so maybe not. But when I'm watching TV and I see people like, you know, going out and shaking hands and just like doing regular daily stuff, my gut reaction, like my first reaction is, wait, how? Oh, right. This is fake.
Right. You shouldn't shake that alien's hand. He might have COVID.
They can do that. Like, they can go out and socialize and be in crowds and stuff because it's not real. It's really weird reversal of things. Anyway, you mentioned that I'm watching Homeland. I am. I love it. Oh, my God. The last episode, I couldn't believe. I so desperately wanted to go on, and I can't believe that I have to wait a week. It is so good. You still haven't been watching it, have you?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, Josh, oh man. Okay, watched. Just because every once in a while we always liked the show in the past, and we like to kind of get away from the news periodically, we decided to watch an old episode of Ultimate Engineering. I just TiVo that all the time and keep like 20 episodes in rotation, so there's always some there to watch. They're usually fascinating. It was a very interesting thing about how they built some of the newer, believe it or not, there are more new islands in Dubai that they have created by hand. And so that was kind of cool. And then Westworld season 3 has started. I have watched episode 1 twice now, not including the time that I fell asleep initially, because I didn't get it the first time. Like I had to watch it, read some stuff about it, and then watch it again. There was like so much going on. And then I watched episode 2 this week, and it was really good. Liking that a lot. Also, amazing friggin' fan fiction is the wrong word. A like fan cameo for HBO people in the most recent episode of Westworld. I'm not going to spoil it anymore, but seriously, really friggin' cool. And then finally, we finished season 5 of Grace and Frankie. We have 2 more seasons of that, and then that is going to be it for that. And of course, a whole lot of news, a whole lot of press conferences.
Yeah. Yep.
How about you?
All right.
You have not been watching television, it looks like, at all.
Well, just now I realized we did watch one episode of American Ninja Warrior. it wasn't a recent episode, but that's a show my family loves. So
I am glad to see you're keeping up with the important stuff.
Yeah, like Grace and Frankie season 5 is important stuff.
Absolutely.
What are you talking about here? No, I've been doing a fair amount of gaming, not as much as I would like. We did, as a family, play some Mario Party. That is always lots of fun. Played a little bit more of Golf Story on my Switch. Man, like, I think it was Saturday. My back was hurting, so I was going to lay down on the couch with an ice pack and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to grab the Switch because I can just lay on my back and hold this thing and play games. And it is awesome. Like, I discounted the Switch for a long time, and I really wish I wouldn't have, because I've liked that machine way more than I ever expected that I would. So a little bit of that. And The Division 2, played some of that this weekend with my normal group of friends that I play that game with. It's getting weird to play that game, Richard, because it feels like we're only weeks from living that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but we've still got content to play through in the Warlords of New York expansion. So we've been working through that. It's really good. And then I really like hanging out with people, and I can't. So what we've been doing, we've got a few different friends where we will regularly get together and play board games with him. One of the games we've been playing since Christmas with our friends, Pandemic. Yeah, we're not playing that right now.
I was going to say, wait, what?
We're not playing that one right now. Can't do it. Can't do it. Especially because we normally lose. So, like, if I felt good about our chances of winning, maybe we'd play it. But I just can't do that right now. Now, another game we really like, though, is Ticket to Ride. It's a fun competitive game where you're just, like, building train tracks across the country and stuff. It's a lot of fun. It's super easy. And there's a mobile version. So what we did is we all got it on our phones and then got on Google Hangout. And so we had laptops in front of us for Google Hangout and our phones in our hands to play the game when it was our turn, and drinks and conversation. And it was a good way to get together with friends. So that is maybe try really that cool. If you're missing your friends. Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
It works surprisingly well.
That's cool. I've seen a number of people posting on social media about, like, with screenshots of them playing Monopoly or other traditional board or card games all online with their friends. And I love that this technology is able to bring people together to do kind of traditional things socially if they want to do that.
Right. Yeah. It's been good. It's been really good. So I've got one other hardware thing to talk about, which is kind of unusual for me. I don't make a lot of changes, but I use Bluetooth headphones constantly, all the time, except for when I'm at work. That's pretty much the only time I don't have Bluetooth headphones on. And it was finally time for me to step up to some true wireless earbuds. I found a really sweet deal on Jabra Elite Active 65T. The 65T model is, I mean, it's now a generation old. They've got the 75T now. But I mean, frankly, for a long time, if you wanted truly wireless earbuds and you wanted good ones, people said, get AirPods or get Jabra Elite 65Ts. And so I wanted some better ones. So I got these. I've been checking them out. I've really been liking them. There's also some other ones that are coming out soon that I'm hoping to get my hands on. And I wanted to be able to compare some other options to what at the time seemed like one of the best available options. So I'll have more to report on with the Jabras soon as I've gotten a little bit more time to use them. But so far, I really, really like them. Richard, you had like another game suggestion I think you wanted to share?
Well, I was curious if it was fair to mention an analog thing that I'm doing right now, which is we've pulled out puzzles that have been in drawers for years. I love puzzles.
I've never been a big puzzle guy.
No, I'm a big fan. I get a little obsessive about them, actually. And of course, I have a process and a system. The other night, we're like, nope, not sitting in front of the TV tonight. We are going to get away from it all and just enjoy some disconnect time.
Nice. How many pieces?
The current one that we're working on is a 1,000 piece. So
nice.
It could be worse, but it would have to be much bigger, and our table's not much bigger than that. So
cool. Very cool. All right. Well, that is it for what's going on in my entertainment center, which means that's also it for this show. So if you want to get a hold of us, all of our contact information, along with all of the show notes for all of the articles that we've talked about in this episode, are over in the show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com. If you want to find us on Twitter, that's easy enough to do without even needing to open your web browser. You can just do at Richard Gunther or at Josh Pollard for the two of us. And then the website is at digimediazone.com. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, all of that stuff is up on the show notes. Richard also has another podcast that he does for the DMZ called Home On. What's going on with the latest episodes of Home On?
I do. So I know I've been talking about this for weeks. The episode that is out, it hit the day after our last episode of Home On, is with the product manager from Samsung. We had a really good conversation, and he gives a little insight into their approach and their strategy going forward. Next up, I am going to be talking with a number of different peers in the space, including you, Josh, kind of finding out what kinds of projects people are taking on if they have time now and they want to dive into stuff in their homes. So I think that'll be interesting to kind of catch up with folks and find out, you know, how are they using time available to maybe make their home smarter or less smart? Never know. Depends on what the project is.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be a fun episode. I look forward to being on it, and I really look forward to listening to it. Those types of episodes are a lot of fun. So cool. All right. Well, you can also come back and join us as we record this show live. We do that on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Usually we tweet about it so that you know when to expect it. We're also recording these and putting most of them up on YouTube as long as the video comes out. Okay, we're trying to get these up on YouTube quickly. So if you can't make it to the live show, but for some reason you still want to see our faces, you can do that over at YouTube. All right, that's going to do it for episode 513. He's Richard Gunther. I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.